Hi, I'm Anthony Brabazon.
And I'm Paul Caffrey.
And this is the God Talk programme. I don't know why I'm laughing, but here we go.
I was wondering the same thing.
The God Talk programme for the next half hour on 90.3 Near FM, where we'll be grappling with the big questions of life from a biblical perspective.
We need to change that text. Text number during the programme is 087-979-5454, and we'd really love to hear from you. But you can also email us on nearfmgodtalk@gmail.com, or you can get us on Twitter at nearfmgodtalk. I've been looking at the Twitter feed, Ant, and that's some really good stuff on there, and you've sometimes put up some of our notes.
Yeah, well, that's right. We link to the website from the Twitter. You know, they're all interlinked some way or other. But yeah, encourage people to, if you use Twitter at all, you know, just join us there, and you'll get a bit of a preview of what we're up to, and you'll also get a link to each weekly podcast which we have. And if you want the podcast, of course, you go on to the Near FM website as well. Where there's a listen again a section.
65 episodes at 65. This stage.
Gosh, I'm feeling old here at this side of the desk. 65. When I'm 64, eh? So,
yes.
Try not to be too giddy here, because we do have a serious topic today.
It's
but
not
first of
yet.
All, there's greetings to go out, and I got wrapped in my knuckles yesterday for not wishing a happy birthday to a certain gentleman, and his name is Billy Jago, and he's 80 years old recently. So hi to you, Billy, and very, very happy birthday. And I'll get Paul to sing it for you later, will I? Yeah.
Maybe I'll get to taste the birthday cake with a cup of tea one of these days.
And very special hi to Sean Cronin. Sean, hi to you. We were talking earlier today, and Sean's a great old friend of mine. And we actually had him on the radio. We interviewed him.
We did
him.
Indeed. In fact, I was looking at his photo the other day on the website.
Yeah. And hopefully we'll get him back soon, you know, because Sean's always good for a story. He's a fantastic guy. He loves the Lord. So
I want to say hello as well to Liz and to Alan. I was talking to Liz about last week's program, and she really likes the message, Eugene Peterson's paraphrase, and will be listening in. I sent her a link. And to Alan, and also to John Fitzsimons far away in Pretoria, South Africa, and also to Jerry, my photographer friend in Rathfarnham. I gave him our card the other day, and he might be listening in, if not today, some day soon. And a special hi as well to Spencer Jones. Spencer said sent us a text message after last week's programme. It came just after the programme, and he really liked the work we did on Eugene Peterson. He said about Eugene, he said he's one of the few Americans that speak to the Irish. I thought that was interesting. And he said it was a very engaging programme. And the other thing Spencer said, now I don't know about this, Ant, what you think, he said, do you ever think of asking your listeners to send in prayer requests? And I mentioned to him that Mick O'Brien does that on Sunday morning. And over the years, there's been quite a build-up of people sending in to pray. So we do say, don't we, that we talk to people about God and to God about people. So
that's right, yeah. We don't have a formal prayer slot. What we do at the end of our programme, we pray from Jesus' prayer book, which is the book of Psalms, typically. But in terms of specific prayer, yes, I think we're very much would like to do that, you know, because it's a two-way street here. We do all the talking, but, you know, we want to hear back too, and we definitely want to stand with you. And there's so many prayer needs out there, really. And we're always encouraged by people who would take a very, very simple step and ask, you know, and we join with them in such a request. Do you remember, Paul, we were talking about prayer a while ago, and we said it's not the big, long, theological, wordy prayers to get the ear of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's the simple ones, you know.
Exactly. And I was reading something recently about Alcoholics Anonymous. And again, I think we might have mentioned this before, but again, the simple prayer is just help.
Help, yeah.
And even to the person who isn't even sure that there's anybody there to help them. That
it even gets better than that in the Bible, because it says groaning is prayer.
That's right.
You know, sometimes you can't even get the word help out. You just kind of
the Spirit prays within us for groans too deep for words.
So the Lord sees the heart. That's wonderful. Anyway, Paul, look, a few months ago, we did a program about the fear of God, meaning in that sense, the healthy kind of awe or reverence that we feel in the presence of God or the works of God. And that kind of fear is the beginning of wisdom, according to Proverbs. And, you know, what we want to do today is talk about the more common and general emotion of fear. as experienced by all of us from time to time. You know, in itself, again, fear can be healthy. Isn't it? It's good to be afraid of impending disaster or danger, like
a fire, for example, the fear of fire.
Tell your child not to cross the road on his own.
Traffic, yeah, or
all that stuff. You know, it's an emotion like any others, love, shame or joy or grief and all that. And as such, it is a gift of God and a part of our human makeup. But there's other fears out there, yeah, which aren't so healthy.
Exactly. And in fact, not to have a healthy fear of certain dangers could be called recklessness. There'd be something wrong with the person that, yeah, didn't have a certain level of fear, yeah, of certain things. And as you say, it's an emotion, which is a gift of God, like any other emotion, like joy, shame, grief, love, etc., etc.
Yeah.
So these are all gifts of God given to us as part of our makeup. And then it speaks in the Bible about God having all these various emotions. Of course, it doesn't speak about God having fear.
Yeah, but when you think of society today and people in their lives and their struggles, you know, this fear is just so much part of the human makeup. It really, mm-hmm, is. You know, people are afraid of all sorts of things. They have fear of rejection, fear of poverty, fear of lack, fear of cancer, fear of you name it. You know, mm-hmm, they're just all around them. And it, the tragedy, I think, Paul, is you see in many people's lives how that restricts people.
So it can really paralyze them. I mean, people, for example, who are afraid of rejection won't take any risks in any relationship at all and suffer really lifelong loneliness in some cases because of that particular fear. Usually a fear resulting from damage or from hurt somewhere back in the past. And in fact, we have at an extreme level what the psychologists would call phobia,
mm-hmm, all right,
which is,
yeah,
an irrational fear that's irrational,
unfounded,
that's
like
unfounded and irrational, yeah. And phobia comes from the Greek word phobos.
And phobos, close to fob off or something.
Yeah, no. Well, people talk about, for example, homophobia,
yeah,
which is actually the wrong word because it's not a fear.
Yeah.
What people mean by homophobia is not actually a fear of homosexuality or homosexuals.
Yeah.
It's a hatred or a dislike or something like that, but it's not fear.
Yeah.
So strictly speaking, it's not homophobia.
A phobia, yeah.
It's not a phobia, it's, yeah, not a fear.
No, but we heard of arachnophobia.
Arachnophobia.
Spiders and
exactly, yeah,
acrophobia and, mm-hmm, claustrophobia and
all of those,
a whole
claustrophobia,
load of real phobias,
yeah, yeah,
that people have.
What's the other one? Agoraphobia is the fear of being out in the field, being outside, outdoors. It's the opposite of claustrophobia, which is,
yeah,
the fear of being closed in. Anyway,
there you go.
Anyway, interesting.
I love that even the word. I mean, fear, false evidence appearing real, and that's a good description, mm-hmm, of a phobia, I believe.
Yeah, if it's, know, false, yeah. But
if
as
it's
I
false,
say,
if it's, yeah,
yeah. Interestingly, the word phobia, phobos, the noun occurs 47 times in the New Testament, the noun for fear, but the verb occurs 95 times, the verb to fear. And it's interesting that almost the very last word of the Gospel of Mark, remember the women at the tomb, it says they were greatly afraid. That's in the shorter ending of the gospel.
Yeah.
There's also pieces added on afterwards. But in other words, their first reaction to the resurrection was actually fear. And but very often this verb to fear, phobeo, occurs in the negative. Very, very often you find Jesus and others saying, fear not, don't be afraid. Jesus says, for example, famously, fear not, it is I, don't be afraid, it's me, when he appears walking on the water.
Yeah, so the common fears we're talking about these days is sickness, loneliness, which is a huge one,
mm-hmm,
poverty, losing someone or something, you know, that we love, or, you know, ultimately the fear of death is a huge thing.
Yeah.
Most people don't talk about it, but they are controlled by,
yeah,
it.
Just before we went on air, one of the presenters of the last program of the environment program has said that the research in America said the greatest fear of all, and this really surprised me, I'd need to check this out, was of people making a speech in public.
Yeah, right.
I don't think somehow that's
understand
the greatest
that. But
fear.
There it does. I've seen.
But some people are terrified. Yeah. They just clam up if they've got to speak in public.
Yeah. Right. So here's us speaking to the public. Not a bit afraid, Paul.
Mm.
But how do we, you know, how do we kind of deal with fear and address it?
Good question. Because I, you know, all the self-help, you go into a bookshop, and one of the shelves you'll see will have all the health self-help stuff. And there's a well-known book, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway, by Susan Jeffers, famous.
Right.
one. And the advertising blurb for that says something like this: with dynamic techniques and profound advice, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway has guided so many readers around the world in to turn their fear, indecision and anger into power, action and love. Learn the tools that will vastly improve your ability to handle any situation so that you can become powerful and decisive in the face of your fears. Discover that everyone has the same fears, but by applying the wisdom that Susan Jeffers offers in this breakthrough book, you can literally feel the fear and do it anyway.
There you go. That's one solution.
And I'm sure there are good tips in that. I bet there are things in that that I wouldn't write off.
My brother trains racehorses down in the Curra, and if a horse got a phobia of something like noise and traffic, he puts them in a field where beside the traffic, and they get to deal with it and get over it, you know, and then they're fine. You know, so that's just training animals, but there's a parallel with people.
Yeah, there's some sense there. Yeah. There's no doubt about this. I wouldn't write it off altogether. But as Christians, we still naturally feel fear from time to time, all the fears that you've mentioned. Mm-hmm. And my question, I suppose, is do we have resources beyond what the self-help books and the self-help gurus can give us? Is there a better way to turn our fears into power, action and love, as the advertising blurb says? In other words, what difference does it make that we know a God who is all-powerful?
Yeah, well, take it from the beginning. If you're a child, Paul, and you're afraid, you know, I mean, the first resource is really your father or your parents, you know, your mother, you know, who kind of take you by the hand and calm you down and bring you through a situation. I often think of a child in a dentist's chair. Maybe they're terrified of the dentist and all the perceived procedures they might have to go through. But when their father goes in with them and holds their hand, it makes a big difference. You know, in a similar way as believers, you know, we can be, God is with us, bringing us through stuff. What I find really helps me, Paul, is the understanding about who are we talking about when we talk about God. We're talking about the creator of the universe. We're talking about the person who's giving you your next breath, your very next heartbeat. In fact, all the functions in your body, the millions of them that are going on, every one of them is happening by a miracle of God. And God is holding you together. And when you begin to get that perspective of a creator God who is watching over you, who's with you, then these sort of fears and phobias absolutely like mist, they can vanish. Mm-hmm. Because you're seeing that much bigger and more true picture of what's going on.
I was looking earlier on in the book of Psalms, which, as you know, as our listeners know by now, is one of our favourite books. We had Eugene Peterson talking to Bono about the Psalms last week, and there are many verse Psalms actually address this question of fear. There's, for example, Psalm 34 says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. In other words, that God was able to deliver the psalmist from fears. And a text, this is a message I sent just a half an hour ago to a friend who's facing cancer surgery tomorrow.
All right.
Psalm 56 verse 3, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. And I remember the last time I was in hospital, sitting waiting for the anaesthetist to come in and knock me out, and I felt this sudden wave of fear. It was a minor procedure, but I was terrified. And that verse kind of popped into my head, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you.
Yeah, I love the word which says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, by prayer and supplication, make your request known to God. And the peace, this is the bit I love, Paul, and the peace of God which passes understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. It's like you don't have to figure it out, but you can allow God's peace to come on you so that you don't know why, but you're not afraid anymore. The circumstances haven't changed. Perhaps you still have that operation tomorrow, you know, but it's like you got this calmness about you. And
in fact, the person who that I sent the message to, Ruth is her name, she texted me back and she said the verses that had been really precious to her as she, you know, waited for this surgery, and it's you know, I think it's quite a serious situation, she said, was Isaiah chapter 26 verses 3 and 4, which says, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Exactly That's what you're right, saying, Anthony.
Same idea, yeah.
In other words, that when, as we trust in God, he in fact can keep you in peace, but your mind is fixed on him.
Yeah.
Because as you know, what happens in these situations of fear, your mind goes into a total spin. Mm. It goes all over the place.
Yeah, it really does. But it's our mind needs to be guarded at a time like that.
It's kind of almost like the steering wheel of a car that's out of control. You've got to take the wheel and point it where you want to go. And you've got to say, I'm going to trust in you, Lord.
So the circumstances, even if they're negative circumstances, don't have to enslave you and dictate your feelings about it, insofar as you don't have to fear, even though you're in a difficult situation. Now, we think of Psalm 23. It's a very well-known psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." It starts off. And then the part of it says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Now, that's not a great place, Paul, is it?
No.
The valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil. No evil. It doesn't say I'll only fear a little bit of evil. It says, "I will fear no evil, for you are with me."
And that's the reason.
Yeah.
It's because you are with me.
And Paul, I'm going to kick off the quote here from a chap called Mark Twain. And he says, "I've had a lot of worries in my life, most of which never happened."
Yeah, reminds me, a good friend of mine, Mary Dungan, has a saying, "There's no grace for the imagination."
Right.
In other words, you don't get grace. You don't get the grace and the strength of God for the things that you're afraid might happen in the future. You get the grace for today. Jesus said, "Sufficient for each day is its own evil."
Yeah.
And I'm thinking of a situation in my own life a year and a half ago. It's kind of personal. I won't go into detail, but it was around the time of my father's death. And there were certain situations in the family, I had dreaded that. I had would fast forward, would think what might happen, what would happen, how it would all pan out. And there were certain specific things I was really scared of. You know what? When the time came, it was just, I stood back awestruck. For one thing, I was in Dublin where most of the family were away, and I shouldn't even have been through a mix up of times and all that. But then the whole thing worked out so dramatically, and I said, "Lord, I will never again worry ahead. I won't run ahead of you." And I'm thinking of a great story in Corrie ten Boom's little book, The Hiding Place. And when she, as a young girl, had her first encounter with death, they went to see, to sympathise with the neighbour who had lost a child.
Right.
And she touched the little cold body, and she went home and was absolutely terrified.
Yeah.
And she was in bed that night, really, really scared, afraid of what would happen when her mother died, what would happen when her father died, and so on.
What age was she
then? Oh, I think she was about 8 or 9.
All right.
And her dad comes in and sits on the edge of the bed, and he says, "Corrie, when you and I go to Amsterdam, when do I give you the ticket?" "I sniffled a few times considering this. Why, just before we get on the train." "Exactly. And our wise Father in heaven knows when we're going to need things too. Don't run out ahead of him, Corrie. When the time comes that some of us will have to die, you will look into your heart and find the strength you need just in time."
I remember reading that years ago. It's brilliant stuff. It really is.
That really spoke
so
to me a few years ago. And it spoke to me specifically about the fear of death, because we will often think, I mean, I don't think making speeches is the greatest fear. The fundamental fear that we all have is of death. I mean, Jesus himself, you know, was terrified and sweated blood and was in great fear and sadness and sorrow at the prospect. And so it's something for all of us. In some ways, it's kind of the ultimate. Mm. And I was thinking ahead, what happens if I have to suffer a long time? Or, you know, people worry about all these things. And again, there's no grace for the imagination. And as Corrie ten Boom's dad said, don't run ahead of God.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw the Late Late interview the week before last.
No, I missed that one.
A remarkable interview with a man called Tony Coote. He's the parish priest over in Mount Merion, and he was diagnosed earlier this year with motor neuron disease. And it was just a stunningly good interview. And I mean,
what was so good about it?
Well, Ryan Tubridy was left flabbergasted when Tony Coote said, he said, "I'm not afraid to die.
Right.
I go to a God of love, and I know I will see the face of God."
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can't think of anything more important than having that business sorted before you meet a bad sickness or a death itself, you know, that you know where you're going. And, you know, we all talk about priorities these days and do this and do that, and you ought to have this and you should have that insurance and this, that and the other, you know, people telling you how to live your lives. But ultimately, you know, when we have our relationship with God sorted, it's everything else is secondary beyond that, because ultimately, you know, it's our maker we meet when we, as they say, pop our clogs, you know.
Absolutely. And people think in terms of planning their wills and leaving this and that, making funeral arrangements and planning. But actually the most fundamentally important thing is my relationship right with God? Am I actually ready to go into his presence? And that's never going to be that I'll be righteous enough or that the balance of my life will be good rather than evil, but that I will have, like the thief on the cross, will have asked and received the mercy of God and an assurance that this day you'll be with me in yeah. paradise.
There's a lovely bit in the Book of Revelations where John was on the island of Patmos, and the Lord appeared to him, but he was so awestruck, and he was kind of really afraid, you know. And the Lord put his hand on him, you know, and he said, "Fear not." That's just one of those moments in Scripture that I just saw so powerful, you know. "Fear not, I am the first and the last, the living one. I died." And John knew that. John had seen the risen Jesus, but he'd seen the crucified Jesus too. And he said, "I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and Hades." Now, talk about words of encouragement. Mm-hmm. Imagine you, Paul, being on an island, and God appears to you that way and touches you and says those words.
"Fear not." He says, "I have the keys of death and of Hades." Hades being the underworld, the afterlife. We would say nowadays the afterlife. Mm-hmm. I was thinking, you know, on Psalm 23, you mentioned one of my favorite commentators on that psalm, Derek Kidner, says about Psalm 23 and the valley of the shadow of death. He says, "Only the Lord can lead a man through death. All other guides turn back, and the traveller must go on alone."
Yeah.
And then he says, "The dark ravine or the valley of death is as truly one of his right paths as the green pastures." We think he leads us into green pastures. Well, he leads us also through the valley of death. And Kidner says, "This fact takes much of the sting out of any ordeal, and his presence overcomes the worst thing that remains, the fear."
Yeah, wow. Well, we're going to end today with a prayer from Jesus' prayer book, which is the Psalms. And it's, as we've referred to before, and as Shane and Shane did a sing for us, it'll be Psalm 23. But just before you do that, I wondered, Paul, if this is translated into a Dublin version, how would it go?
Psalm.
And I thought Psalm 23. You I have just thought it might start to say, "Jesus is my gaffer, you know. I'll never be on the dole." And I'll give you the rest of that next week.
Okay, so I see Eugene Peterson has a competitor out there. His publishers,
the Dublin version.
Nav Press, better watch out, because Anthony is going to publish his own version of the Psalms in Dublinese. Okay, well,
anyway,
on a more serious
across.
Note, here we are. Psalm 23. Let's pray it together. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters," or waters of rest, by the way, literally beside waters of rest. Mm. "He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever."
And you've been listening to God Talk on 90.3 Near FM, and my few words of Irish, "Bolo ye earth."
Agus a gan cúpla nó mé, beg ar mwyn am wicca ar siúl, agus marsin eistigi.